you know, there's nothing I can do right now. I mean, pray for me. I'm in a lot of pain, but that's the easy part compared to what she has to put up with. I feel bad for my wife. I do. God just give us the strength to get through it. That's all we have is, you know, the Lord, and I thank the church for the gift they gave us. But it's hard. It's a hard thing to face. I'm 42 years old. I was just telling everybody, what's going to be like in a few years when I'm 56 years old? You know? So, you know, God's got to come through and just give me a little healing. I got to get back to work. I'm not going to sit around. I can't sit around the rest of my life. I've been denied SSI, SSD, disabilities, welfare, food stamps. They won't do anything with us. They will not touch us. Lawyers have told us that you don't qualify for it. So the only thing that can happen is that I have to go back to work, unless the Lord opens the door somewhere else. I mean, that's where we're at right now. And we're not down and sad about it. It is what it is. We believe the Lord's going to take care of it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. For those of you who are out here and you're living for the world, and you're living in the world, and you think that you have everything exactly where you want it, you can go ahead and have that life, because I wouldn't trade what life I have with Jesus Christ for anything. I just wouldn't. There's lessons to be learned in everything. And this week, my wife, we picked up on something the Lord was just trying to show us, just trying to teach us that we're not responsible with a certain thing, therefore He will not allow us to have it. I mean, we have enough. It's called money. We have enough to pay our bills. But if we go to start savings accounts and all that stuff, it's gone. You know why? Because once we start getting money and stuff like that, we start turning our back on God. Once, you know, we feel like that we're comfortable and we've attained it where we wanted to be, we start turning our back on God. We don't have to turn to Him so much. And right now, God needs our attention on Him. Right now, He wants us to have our minds on Him. And so how does get that us to do that? I mean, we're not broke. We can pay, you know, our bills and such. It's still hard. But you know what? You know what we're facing? Right now, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what me and my wife do all the time. There's a reason why He has us where He wants us. I believe He don't trust us with money. I believe if I had a lot of money and I could sit back and just absolutely had to do nothing, I believe that I wouldn't serve God like I do today. She agrees with me. She understands that. Because there's been times in the past the Lord has blessed us with money. I mean, a lot of it. And we just went out there and just been total idiots with the money. Just we're not good with our money. We weren't good stewards. We didn't do well with it and such. So God doesn't trust us right now. And I'm okay with that because you know why? We have enough to make it. We're faithful with our tithe. We give above and beyond that we can, not to break ourselves. And you know what? We're taken care of. Whether it be by God's people or God just stepping in and doing it Himself, we're taken care of. I mean, that's one thing that I learned early off. Listen, the Bible said give God what is His. That's His. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Him. So why not give it back? He knows what He's doing. We know. I'm going to start in Isaiah. Lord, really, man, He's just moved on me this week a couple times. I love it. I told Pastor if the next 2 weeks is probably going to be a two-part here. And when God gets in there, man, I mean, I love spending time. I wish the rest of my life I could just sit behind a desk and study the Word. I mean, because when God gets in there, man, I mean, there's just nothing like sitting there with God. There's nothing like sitting in that Word and just giving myself to Him and Him giving me what, you know, He wants me to have. And I just tell you, man, there's nothing like it. It's a joy. Here's the second joy. My wife has really been getting in the Bible. And just seeing her flourish off. I'm just seeing her get encouragement from the things God gives her that day. I mean, just seeing that she's able to pull through because of that verse. Just seeing that God has touched her heart that morning. Just seeing that He just gave her exactly what she needed to get through. And seeing that, man, what a blessing to have that. I mean, I just love seeing that. Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Let's go. Lord here says, rebellious children. He's talking to Israel here, but I'm going to spiritualize this a little bit. I'm going to show you a little picture of a few things that each and every one of us, just show us a picture of each and every one of us that's sitting here or have been in this spot or have been in this place before. And as a rebellious child, I'd like to take a few minutes, verses, spiritualize them, and show you a picture of lost people in this world, and some of those who even call themselves Christians. These are those who the world calls rebellious. They rebel against the laws of this world, the laws of God, their parents, or anything that stands for good. Rebellion. You're just rebellious against anything that stands for good. You can't follow a law. You can't even follow the laws of this world, let alone follow the laws of God. Matter of fact, a lot of us don't even know the laws of God. We got to be taught that. Got to be taught that. And I thank God for Old Time Baptist Church and other churches that came in when I was in prison for all those years, and they started showing me that kind of stuff. Bless my mom. I love her to death. I know she's going to listen to this message, but she knows I just got to say what I got to say, and she's okay with it. But, you know, my mother didn't raise us in a Christian home. My mother never brought us to church. My mother never had a Bible in the house. She never even dared to open one when I was a kid. So I was never brought up on this stuff. Church was never mentioned in our house. Bible was never mentioned. God, if he was named, it was named in vain. His name was used in vain. It was nothing ever good. And I'm just telling you now, we became rebellious. My mother was rebellious. I was rebellious. My brother, you know, my mother used to take us out. And God bless her, she worked her tail off as much as she could. In between her drunks and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? She used to go out there. And how we got shoes, my mother used to take us out stealing shoes. She'd leave the old ones underneath the thing, put our new ones on our feet, and we'd walk out. That's how we got. My mother was rebellious. What do you think your kids are going to pick on? Hey, listen, you're taking your kids out there and you're saying one thing and living a totally different way. What do you think your kids are going to do? What do you think your kids are going to do? What do you think your grandkids are going to do? What do you think the people that are watching you are going to do, whether you're at work or wherever? They're going to see that and they're going to become rebellious in their heart. There's a rebellion that's going on in this world that's second to none. I just take a step outside the church doors here. I know everybody's good while we're in church, but go ahead and take a step outside these doors. They're different people. A lot of people don't bring church home with them. They leave it behind. I know that's one of the mistakes that my wife made for a long time. And we realize if we want victory, we need to bring church home with us. We need to bring the Bible home with us. We need to bring Jesus home with us, not just go home and come here and dress up nice and be good and this, and then go home and forget about everything that was ever taught. Anything. That's rebellion. I think my kids seen that. Man, listen, kids are radars. They pick up on that stuff. They will let you know. They will let you know what you do. Well, you know, you said this, Dad, when you were up there, but you come home and you do this. I mean, my God, I think God uses our children sometimes to show us, hey, you won't listen to me, why don't you listen to that? I really believe it. Listen to your children sometimes. I'm not saying listen to your children, let them tell you what to do and this and that, but sometimes they just might tell you about yourself. You might need to hear it. That's a hard thing to do. Just go ahead and swallow your pride and get over it. That's all. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. Pride. Oh, people. Pride is what's keeping people out of heaven. It's not only the sin. You know what? People know they're sinners. They know they're bad. They love it. They take joy in doing this stuff today. It doesn't even bother them anymore. The conscience is, see, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. It's just rebellious. Rebellion. They rebel against the laws of this world, the laws of God, their parents, and anything or anything that stands for good. They do not seek the counsel of God and His word, His preaching, teaching, or examples. The truth is right before them, yet they're determined not to see it. They believe in their heart of hearts that their way is right. Let's turn to Proverbs 30, verse 12. You don't have to turn there. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. If you don't, I'm going to turn to quite a few places. Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that appear in their eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That is a generation that is walking around today in their absolute rebellion, and in their eyes, they really think they are okay. In their eyes, they think that they have it just, they have the answers. They know exactly what they're doing. I kind of had a conversation about this morning and down in my Sunday school room. I love my Sunday school kids. I said, I'm not here begging you for salvation. I said, that's between you and God. I said, but what I am begging you is to understand that I tell you these things because I love you. And I want to help you. And I don't want you to hurt yourself like many people I see sitting in front of me have hurt themselves who have been through the things. But you know how the teens look at us? You know how the young people look at us? Like we know nothing. Here we are. We've been dragged through it. They know people but they see the people who's been dragged through it or who's gone through it, who's been delivered by Jesus Christ, yet they want to go headlong into it. That's, you know what that is? That's that pride, that rebellion. They think they're okay in their own eyes. Thank you, buddy. They think they're okay in their own eyes. Yet they are not washed. They're filthy, dirty. It's okay to be filthy and dirty these days. I mean, my goodness. It's hard to bring my kids and my wife out in public to hear the stuff. I always have my radar ears on. Please don't let noise. Because I'm so afraid that if somebody starts saying this crazy stuff in front of them, I'm going to approach them. That's just who I am. Okay? And I'm going to tell them, you know, come on, I got kids here, guys. And people don't know how to handle that. No matter how nice I say it, hey, I have kids and my wife, can you please not swear in front of them? Really? You're lucky I'm saved. Just realize I wasn't saved my whole life. Go up and well on me one too many times. I'm not lucky, you know? But I'm just saying, it's okay to be that way. It's, you know, it's okay. Pornography, it's not a bad thing anymore. It's okay. Smoking, drugging, I mean, doing all that drinking and alcohol, it's okay. It's okay to go home and sleep with everything and anybody and everything. It's okay to do that. It's all right. I mean, it doesn't even bother anybody anymore, this stuff is going on. They're so hyped up about getting rid of cigarettes. What about the alcohol? What about the alcohol? It's destroying families just as well. Okay, cigarettes might be killing people just a little, but these people are all drinking and driving. They're out there, they can't remember what they do the next morning. They're out there just making money off of this sickness. And yet they're worrying about just taking cigarettes. And I'm smoke-free. Just so you know, I'm not sticking up for anybody who smokes. But I'm just saying, everybody's so worried about cigarettes. What about the alcohol? Amen. I got just damaging people. They're so worried about these darn cigarettes. They got commercials about it. But why would they put, you know why they don't put anything on there about drinking? Because they all do it. They don't want anybody. They can't go against anything they believe in.
That's right.
You know, God forbid. Rebellious. Think they're cleaning this generation. I'm talking about for my generation down, even a generation above me. Just the rebellion that's in our hearts. The way we lived our lives is proof of it, man. I mean, it shows on the faces of people. I mean, golly, I used to see faces of people. I was in bands. I mean, I got CDs out when I used to sing in bands and all this crazy garbage. And the DVD, we have my first concert. And I used to sit there and watch these people's faces. But it's nothing like watching the people's faces now of this day. I mean, I've never seen the hurt and the pain and then this and that. And you know what? They hold on to it. That's what their life is about. They got to hold on to that. Why? Because they think they're okay. I don't need what you have to tell me. I don't have to listen to what you're saying. I don't have to. No, I don't want to hear that. Man, people are trying to show people a better way. They don't want to hear it. You don't have the way. That ain't right. You're right. You go ahead and keep doing what you're doing then. You have the answer. You know what's right. You go ahead and just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine here. Let me patch up. You know, you can't say something to somebody. You get these people out here cussing each other out, slandering each other, just doing all this crazy stuff. You get up here and preach something out of the Bible and they think you've done the worst thing to them ever. Now I'm your enemy. I'm trying to warn you about something, tell you that I'm your friend, but I become your enemy. But you got somebody out there who will cuss you to your face and everything else, and they're your friend. That's your buddy. Doesn't make sense to me. Just doesn't make sense to me. They are a generation that pure in their own eyes, and yet now washed, yet is not washed from their filthiness. The covering talks about woe in the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. That's in Isaiah 31, but not of me. Who is seeking after God anymore? Who's seeking the counsel of godly men? Who's seeking the counsel of the Bible anymore? Who's out there seeking the counsel of their Sunday school teacher? Who's out there seeking anything that has anybody to do with any kind of religion? Nobody. They don't want to hear that counsel. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Nobody wants to hear the right thing to do. It's a crazy, crazy time right now. I'm just telling you, it's crazy, and I'm scared myself. And I'm going to go to the second part of that verse. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, take counsel, but not of me, and with that cover, with a covering, but not of my spirit. Because they do not seek God or his counsel. They not only become rebellious, they cover themselves with the things and the ways of this world. God has no part in them. Let's see what God has to say about those who are rebellious towards towards Him and that are friends with this world. James 4:4. You know the verse. You know the verse, and I'm just going to read it to you because it's a good verse. Because why? Because it's out of the Bible and it's trying to tell you something. It's trying to give you a little direction. I don't care if you hear it a million times. It's trying to tell you something. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will therefore will be a friend of the world and enemy of God. If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. If you're doing what this world wants you to do, and you're seeking their counsel, and you're covering yourself in their stuff, you're an enemy of God. God does not want that. God does not want any person that's sitting in here, whether you be on this side, here, or here, or over there. He does not want you to be His enemy. Matter of fact, He will call you His friend. Matter of fact, he doesn't want you to be... Listen, have you ever met another enemy that would go and die for you like God? It says if you're a friend of this world, then you're an enemy of God. Well, your enemy died for you then. How come your best friend ain't dying for you? How come your best friend, your girlfriend, and your mom, and your, how come they're all not giving their life up for you? Why aren't they? Where are they in this time? Tell me, where are they? I call nobody my best friend. My best friends are right here. Friends. I love you guys. I love all you guys. You guys are the ones that I turn to. You're the ones that I know prays for me. You're the ones that I pray for you guys. This is our life. This is who we've become. And I don't have a problem with it. I was just sitting there thinking. On my way to church, I was looking. I could see out of my peripheral vision, me and my wife and my kids. And here we are. We're sitting, facing forward, going to church. Happy.
Amen.
Happy. Happy about going to church. You know what I used to say to myself? Oh God, I can't go to church. I used to tell people, the church will fall down on me. God is bigger than the church falling down on me. Don't use that, I can't go to church as an excuse because it's going to fall down on you. It ain't going to fall on you. If it didn't fall on me, it ain't going to fall on you. If that's the case, it would fall on every single person that ever walked through the doors because they're all sinners.
That's right.
That's a good thing about coming to church. You can come in here a sinner and leave saved. I mean, you can leave having a new life. I mean, you can leave having new thoughts. You can leave having a new heart. I mean, you can just leave absolutely clean and pure. And that conscience Pastor talked about. I understand what he's talking when he says that. Why? Because I got that salvation.
Amen.
I got it, man. I mean, I got a clean conscience, man. I just have a clean... Here's when I have a dirty conscience. When I do something wrong to people, to God, my family, then my conscience gets bothered. Can you believe I have a conscience that bothers me?
Amen.
Never had a conscience that bothered me before, and my life showed it. I got a 17-page rap sheet of violence. Why? Because I just didn't care about you or myself. That's obvious. Now, guess what? I care. I care. God has given me a heart for care. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world... Why? What? Let me ask you this. What has the world done for you? All you guys that are sitting here today, all of you, what has the world done for you as of today? Really? Now just think of a little bit of time. I'm not talking about the news. Just think about those who've been here, you know, a couple years, whatever. Now think about what the people of God have done for you. Think about what they would do for you that the world will not. Hands down, man. I mean, it's hands down. Boom. That's where we need to be right here. I don't want to be a friend. Now, it doesn't say I don't go out. You know what one of my prayers is, Lord, just give me a deeper love for these people in the world. Why? Because I want to go hang out with them and be like them? No, because I'd like to see them saved and become my friend.
Amen.
Dealing with the people over at Wellsprings, I told Pastor, one of my prayers in my heart is, please help, give me a heart for these people. Help me to understand them, because I don't know how to deal with those type of people. I do not. Now, how? But I want to. My heart is, Lord, I'm willing to learn how to deal with these people. Lord, my heart is that I can sit there and love these people and pray for these people. That's what my heart's prayer is for those at Wellsprings. Why? I would like to see them be saved. I'd like to see them have what I have. I'd like to see everybody in this room and these both rooms have what I have. Joy and peace, a family second to none. It just doesn't get any better than this. Well, I mean heaven.
Amen.
Heaven. I have a little, Pastor says that, a quote from you. He says, a little bit of heaven on earth. Oh, we got that, babe. I was telling Sharon, man, I go through a lot of pain. I hurt bad physically, man, but you know what? I still have a happiness on this earth. With my wife and my kids and the church. If nobody, I mean, you won't understand it unless you have it, man. I have it. You know, the world makes me pay a price. They still won't forgive me for what I've done in the past. But I have a God that has. And I have friends here that have forgiven me. And I don't care what the world says or does. I have my family, they love me. I mean, my family loves me. Why, because I'm perfect? No, because I love them back. I pray for them. They see I serve the Lord all my heart. The best that, you know, whatever the Lord gets me to do, I'm willing. I'm not perfect at it. But the same world that threw me out, you guys want to be friends with. The same one that still despises me after all these years, you guys want to be friends with. The same ones. Listen, every decision you make right now, please, if nobody ever gets anything ever from me, the decisions you make right now will haunt you for the rest of your life. I told Amy, I said, after I got refused that job at Olean General, I said, Amy, if I could just shake these youth up and just have them see that every decision is going to haunt them the rest of their life. But you know, do I get discouraged over that stuff? I do sometimes. But then God, you know what? He just shows me, Dale, I have doors open for you. You try to open doors, I just don't want to open right now, Dale. And I just got to sit back and say, okay, he knows better than I know. That's why he had to save me. He knows better than I know. I obviously didn't know nothing. I still don't know nothing. I just know what he's doing in my life, and I'm loving my life. Romans 8. Love my life. You can have yours, and I'm going to keep mine and just go along. And when that train comes to pick me up, I'm out of here. I'm going to glory, man. I'm going to go to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to sit at his feet for as long as he will allow me. And that's where I'm going to stay, man. I'm just going to be there. You know why? Because he loved me enough to die for me and forgive me for everything I ever done to him or anybody else. You know, there's a person in this church right now. There's a person in this church who should have and still could have held a lot against me for the things that I've done with the short time that I was with her and I was my wife. And you know what? God changed me, and God changed her heart to love me. God just absolutely healed her heart towards me for the nasty, vile person that I was towards her. I mean nasty. That bad person towards that woman sitting right there. You know, so I understand when Pastor Cliff Taylor talks about the bad times with his wife and that. I understand. I mean, Amy didn't leave me, but Chloe, she prayed that I would die every single night. She would just pray that God would come and take me because she loved me enough not to leave me, but she didn't like me. She didn't want to be with me. And God healed that. I think we're still on our honeymoon, aren't we, babe? I'm just telling you, love's second to none. A love that just keeps growing. Pastor says, you know, I'm always learning something new. And I used to look at him like, what are you talking? I'm telling you, when you get a love like that, we're always learning, aren't we, babe? Always in love. I mean, just 12 years, holding hands, still hugging each other in public. I'm not ashamed of my wife. She's not ashamed of me. We kiss in public. We do all that stuff. Yep, I'm a sap. Why? Because I never was, and now I am. I got something to do it with. Why wouldn't I? I love it, you know? Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm just telling you now. So this is the unsaved people that are in this room. You can't serve God and serve the world at the same time. Why? Because when you're in the flesh, God just ain't having nothing to do with it. Christians, we can get in the flesh pretty quickly, pretty easily. That old man's there waiting to strike just anytime we give him the chance. I'm just telling you now, you know what happens? You put a separation. I'm not talking about eternal separation, but you put a separation. God will put a wall up and say, all right, go ahead and do it. I mean, I just used to tell Pastor, oh my gosh, Pastor, the Lord tried to turn me over to myself. I just had to see it. I thank God he did not turn me back over to myself because I wouldn't want to be that. But he's given me a taste of what it would be like if he let me loose back on myself. Not a place I wanted to be. Not a place, and when I start getting that hint that God may be doing that because I'm doing something wrong, I'm not listening, oh boy. Oh boy, time to get back on track. Time to get back on my knees. Time to get back in the Bible, man. God showed me. Please, hold up, Lord. I understand you're trying to show me something, but now you got to show me. Because I'm just not seeing it. And Lord, please don't ever let me get back there. Because I don't ever want to be to the point in my life, and God forbid, I'm ever out there, and I'm in public, and I tell people I'm a Christian, but I live like the world. I smell like the world. I look like the world. I act like the world. I talk like the world. That I do not want.
Amen.
Because I'm not of this world. I have to live in this world, but I don't have to be like the world. Okay? We just had somebody put a thing on Facebook, just broke my heart. You know, I mean, just, why? Because they say, I had another guy, I don't even know who the guy is. He called me out by name the other day and everything, Pastor. He said, Dale, hey, how you doing? I'm like, he goes, you know, I really miss you at work, man. He goes, you know, you always took care of us. You're always so nice and you were kind. He goes, thanks for, you know. And then Al Bat did the same. Oh, you were, that's where I remember you. He goes, I remember you from being at work. Oh, you were always so professional and this. And... Now, where did that come from, me? That's what God did. That's the person God made me into. Because now I have people out there giving me compliments of what God's doing in my life. Why? Because I'm out there acting like the world? No, because I'm out there acting like God saved me to act.
Amen.
God didn't save me to act like this world. People are like, yeah, I'm saved. And doing all this worldly. How are you saved like that? I understand. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody. God takes things out of your life at His speed. But I'm just saying, things aren't going to come out of your life. There's those who call themselves Christians that nothing ever comes out of their life. That is not Christianity.
That's right.
Sorry. Things will come out in God's time. Yes, I believe that because I smoked for a year and some change after salvation. God will take them out of His time. But I'm telling you, other things left my life before the smoking. Important things like salvation. I got saved. I always said, oh gosh, He ain't never going to do anything because I'm smoking. Pastor said, there's something more important than smoking. And I never caught on. And then I got saved. That's what the important thing was, me getting saved. Now, do I smoke? No, see? There was other things God needed for me to get out of my life. He needed my anger to get under control and me working and so on and so on. He needed all these other things to get out of my life, these important things, these things that were necessary, and then He took the smoking out of my life. You understand what I'm saying? But there's Christians out there who have all this stuff in their life, been saved for years, and not one inkling, not one bit of change is going on in their life, and they call themselves a Christian. Sorry, you have the wrong Jesus, or I do. And I'm almost 100% sure I do not. I don't have the wrong Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all things become whole. Old things pass away. New things come into your life. Your thoughts, your heart, all that stuff starts to become different. You start thinking different. Pastor said you can get saved, and you start handling things differently. There's people who are saved who don't handle things any differently. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody whether you're saved or not saved, but I'm just telling you this. When the Bible says that things are going to be different in your life, and you're going to start living a different life when you're saved, then you know what? I believe the Bible over I believe you.
Amen.
I'm not ever going to sit there and tell you you're lost to your face or say I don't do that kind of stuff. That's between you and God. But I just know Jesus says you'll know them by the what? The fruit they bear. Well, don't try to hand me a grapefruit off an orange tree. It's not going to work. Don't try to hand me an apple off a pear tree. This doesn't work. Sin unto sin. I think I'll be able to finish this first part, maybe. I don't know. Sin unto sin. Now, if we read that, it says Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Because of their ways of being rebellious, not seeking or listening to God, and covering themselves with the things of the world, they are caught in the trap of adding sin to sin. I'm just going to give you a definition of what I believe the Bible's talking about here. I may be wrong, but it sounds good to me. What is sin to sin? I believe that they are stacking sin upon sin,
right.
And it's just piling the cycle, and the cycle continues, and they get themselves deeper and deeper, and then they believe that there's no way out.
Right.
Then they can't believe where they are. They get so deep into sin, they just go, there's no way for me to get out. I would never have seen myself here. They cannot believe that they're far that buried in the sin. They can't believe that they've actually, that little thing you said you didn't, you walk around, you didn't have that checklist. Oh, I didn't mark that off. Oh, man, now I checked. That's what's happening. That's that sin to sin. Now you're starting to check things off you thought you would never do. Then you're going to be to a place you never thought you'd be. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to say, how do I get out of this? And then somebody might come up here and try to tell you how to get out of it, and you won't want to. Why? Because you become rebellious. You start closing everything off that God wants to show you, anything good. I believe they are stacking sin upon sin upon sin. And it's just piling up, and the cycle continues until they find themselves in so deep and that there's no way out. So why try to stop? And then they find themselves doing things they would never have dreamed of. And now it's become part of who they are. And their conscience now becomes seared. 1 Timothy 4:2. We'll show you where it says it right in there. 1 Timothy. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Remember when I said earlier I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I didn't have a conscience? I had a seared conscience. I didn't have feelings for people. People always say, you know, I love my mom. I love my mom. My mom used to beg me, literally get on her knees and beg me, Dale, please stop. And I'd be like, you know what? And I would tell my mother I hated her to her face. You don't believe me? Ask my mom. She'll tell you the stories of how I used to get on my knees. She'd be down there begging me, please stop doing what you're doing. You're killing yourself. I'd be like, you know, and I would just tell her things and tell her how much I hated her and so on and so forth because of what you did. You're trying to tell me to stop. But I had no conscience of it. It didn't bother me what she said. I used to have my little girl. She'd sit there and peek out the window as I was leaving, knowing that I was never coming back. It didn't bother me. I didn't stop and cry or none of that. I just kept it moving because I had no conscience. You guys hear the stories of me jumping off of porches and beating people up and taking their money and all that stuff? It didn't bother me if I hurt you. It didn't bother me of the things that I did. I had no conscience. I would take your life from you if I could have. You know, I thank God, Pastor, that I had people so just pull me off of people because I almost killed people. Literally, I have come so close to killing people. And I thank God, just thank God, He had another plan for me. That somebody would just be there, just come there in the nick of time for me stopping, beating the pulp out of this person before I absolutely kill him. Then it happened to me. I had 15 bikers jump me, swell my head up, busted my whole, just about killed me. That didn't stop me. A couple days later, I went up to the clubhouse in Buffalo. I'll tell you their name and everything. I don't hide from anybody. I ain't afraid. You're going to come, or the worst you're going to do to me is send me to heaven. And I went to their house. Their clubhouse with a .22 pistol. Thank God there was nobody sitting in that place because I would have shot them. I did shoot up their clubhouse though. The Vietnam vets, east side of Buffalo, Broadway. They'll tell you the story themselves. I don't hide. I'm just telling you right now, I had no conscience. Things like that didn't bother me. So if I didn't care about myself, if I didn't care about physically how I was, why would I care about you? You see, I have a conscience now. Sin bothers me. Hurting people's feelings, the things I say, the things that I do bothers me. It hurts me. I have a conscience now that bothers me if I might correct my children just the wrong way. You guys might think it okay, but to me it bothered me. I did something wrong. Look, did I give you a hug last night? Do you remember what I said? Because sometimes I say things that just a little bit, it bothers me. It may not even affect it, but maybe I just said something, I didn't like the way I said it to him. So I gave him a hug and I said, I'm sorry. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say, buddy. Because it bothered my conscience and I wanted my conscience clean. Because that's how I walk around, with a clean conscience. Pastor's right. Go ahead, man. Mess up with your wife. See if God hears your prayer. I've been there. I've had absolutely been there, and now anything that I always. Am I? Are you okay, honey? Amy, you all right? Is everything good? Me and you. Am I right? She knows, because I'm telling you, man. Woo! You know, that's why God gave a woman a man, and He wants. You know what? How God wants us to treat our ladies, and you young girls, don't ever settle for less.
Amen.
God didn't make you to settle for less. God made you to settle for somebody who's going to love you, who's going to look out for you, and realize what you are in God's eyes and your eyes. I mean, just give you a deep love like me and my wife can share. I mean, give a heck. He's not trying to punish you guys by stopping you from doing the things you're doing. He's protecting you.
Amen.
I said that this morning in Sunday school. He's protecting you guys. It's not like God wants to take any fun from you. First of all, sin is fun for a little while. Then it will come to an end. It becomes very hard. But I'm just telling you now, God just wants to look out for you now, so you don't have to, you just go ahead and look at the ladies and gentlemen that are in this room, and you look at the things they have been through, and tell them, ask them, has it been fun your whole life? They'll tell you no. And that's what God's trying to protect you from. If you're here today, God is trying to protect you from something and get your eyes open to something that you can't imagine what He wants to give you. Please, ladies, don't settle for anything less than a man.
Amen.
He can wait for you. If he can't, then he's not worth it. Kick him out the door. Goodbye.
Right.
It's not worth it. It just isn't worth the pain you're going to go through. And don't think he doesn't feel it. He does. He just thinks he's a tough guy. He's a little wimp. That's what he is. Guys, start learning how to treat a lady now.
Try it.
Open doors for the ladies, man. It's going to hurt you. It won't kill you. Maybe God will bless you with a wife. You can open a door for her, maybe.
Amen.
I still struggle with that. Babe, we just can't. We try so hard. Because of the rebellionist is not seeking to listen to God to cover himself with the things of this world, they get caught adding sin to sin. Speaking, so 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience sealed with a hot iron. They have become numb, and the things that once used to bother them do no more. Even the things of God that used to touch their heart is now shut off. I know people today who are in my family that the things of God don't bother them anymore. Oh God, if they would just see it. They would just open their eyes. What a scary place to see when the things of God don't bother you anymore. You better start being in fear and trembling, because you are in serious trouble. Not with me. You're in serious. And if you don't believe in God, you have serious issues yourself. Okay? You don't have to believe the Bible like the pastor said and this and that, but I'm telling you now, there's something above you. There's something more than you. If you think that you're the one that God created just you to run your life, then you have serious pride issues and you need to go ahead and get off that high horse. There's people who the things of God just don't touch anymore. And that's a scary. When the things of God don't bother you anymore, please get on your face and beg God that they start bothering you again. Don't ever think that God, you don't ever want God to turn his back on you and say, you know what? And turn you over to a reprobate mind. God forbid. What a scary, scary thing. If that ain't scary to you, may God make it scary to you. May God make it scary to you, man. It's just not a game. I don't want you, listen, I don't want you coming here because the pastor wants you coming, or me, I want you coming, or this and that. You know why you come here? For you. You come here with an open heart to see what it's really about. Find out what it's really about. Find out what the Christian, you know why you have such a hard time? Because you've heard all these stories from these so-called Christians out there, and now you want nothing to do with true Christianity. What God really intended it to be. Right there in that King James Bible, you want nothing to do with it. Why? Because you've seen all these knuckleheads out there. Claiming to be Christians and claiming to do this and claiming to do that and live a whole different life. Why would you want anything to do with it? And then when you hear the truth, when the truth comes out of the King James, why you want nothing to do with it? That's the scary part of the generation. They've been inoculated from the things of God. They don't want it anymore. It's been shut off. Why? Because you got all these people out there being crazy. My goodness. 2 Peter 2:21. I got to hurry up. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The Bible says it would just have been better off if they had never known the things of God than to have turned their backs on Him. Listen, this Christianity thing is not a game. It's something God takes very seriously. It took so serious that He went up on the cross. And I'm just telling you now, don't get into this Christian thing and then go ahead and turn your back on it and think that, listen, he said the Pharisees are going to have a greater damnation. Do you know what you're going to be if you turn your back on God when you start trying to follow Him and you're not saved? You're a Pharisee. You will have the greater damnation. You know, God doesn't sit here every day and think about, well, how can I throw this person in hell? He sits there and thinks, how can I get them to open their eyes and see? That's not where I want them.
Amen.
That's what He does every day in everybody's life in this room. He doesn't sit back and mad at you and say, I just want to throw you in hell. That's not His, it's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? It's true. Why? Because God's not a man. Why does God have to lie? You're going to believe Him or not believe Him. So He has no reason to lie.
Right.
His righteousness keeps Him from lying. But you can lie. You see, God doesn't sit here and think of every day, how can I destroy Abel's life, Corey's life, Timothy's time? How can I? That's just not what God sits up there and thinks. God forbid he would sit up there and think that. He has a love for everybody, whether you're lost or saved. And he wants a better life for you, not a worse. If your life is getting worse, then you're missing the point. But don't ever turn your back on God like that. Because he says it's better off that you would have not known than to just go ahead and turn your back on. That's a scary place to be. Thank God I would not want to be there. Isaiah 30, verse 2. Isaiah verse 32. Oh, excuse me. 30, verse 2. Yeah, and I got 5, 6 minutes and I will have this. They that walk, and I want you to hear this. They that walk go down into Egypt and have asked, not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. In verse 2, Egypt is a picture, a representation of the world, of the world in the Bible. As we have seen in verse 1, being that way and what it does to people in their lives. Verse 2 starts out saying that they go down. You notice it says walking down. Walking with this world or their ways will always bring you down. They walked down to Egypt. When you're walking with this world, you're walking down. You're not going up where God wants you. You're going down. You're going the wrong way. He's trying to tell you, turn around. It's time to go up, not down. I'm telling you now, when you're walking with this world, you're walking downhill fast. So what? Being a Christian is a slow uphill climb. But oh, what a beautiful climb it is. Love it. Love heaven. I would rather go up a slow snail crawl pace up through Christianity than to run as fast as I can downhill into this world anytime. Anytime. Why? Because I've been there. You guys act like I was Christians my whole life, but I was not a Christian my whole life. I just came out of the world 2.5 years ago. I got saved. I came from that world that beat everybody up and got everybody stoned and drunk and didn't care for you and hurt you and spit on you. And I came out of that world. Why? I was one of those worlds. I was one of those people out there that did that to you guys. Maybe not personally, but I supported it. Supported it in the way I lived and everything else. Being that way. Oh, excuse me. Verse 2 starts saying they walk down. You notice it says walk down. Walking with this world or their ways will always bring you down. Whether it's with depression, addictions, prison, violence, and even hell, walking with this world will always bring you down. Here's my point. Here's what God really gave me. This is where just really God gave it to me. I just love the way he gave it to me. It says, antidepressants have become the morphine that they give terminally ill patients who are dying. That's what antidepressants have become in the United States. They give it to them to numb them up so they can go ahead and just keep doing what they're doing. They do that to terminally ill patients. They give them morphine so they don't have to feel what's going on when they're dying. Well, that's what antidepressants are have become to our society. They've become enough to numb you up when you don't have to feel what's going on. The things that you're doing wrong. The things that are going wrong. That's why they give you antidepressants for so you don't have to feel that when you're dying and going to hell. That's what this world offers you. They give it to them so they don't have to feel. Let me read that over. Antidepressants have become the morphine that they give to terminally ill patients who are dying. They give it to them so that they do not feel the pain and the death that they're facing because of life choices. And to block out the natural guilt that God has built into them, to let them know that they are doing wrong, and his pulling them to himself through their conviction, repentance, and salvation. No longer are they able to feel the pain, telling them to turn from what's hurting them, but they dive headlong into it because they are so numb from these medications, drugs, alcohol abuse, and worldly pleasures and sin. That is what is going on in America and this world today. People are just blinded by this. There's no pain anymore. There's no conscience anymore. It just doesn't bother anybody anymore. And when it does start bothering them, they go ahead and cover it up with medicine so God can't deal with them anymore. Oh, what a ploy from the devil. You need to feel a little pain because when you're doing something wrong, God gave that to you for a reason. Gave it to you for a reason and it's being cut off. I don't say everybody come off medicines. I can't even explain all that stuff. I'm just not built like that. But I just know this. Some people may need it, but most people do not. They just don't want to feel the pain of they're doing wrong. They want to try to cover up what they really are doing or really have done so they can continue to go on and do it. When God has built that guilt inside of you, You know how you feel pain? Somebody pinches you or stabs you. It hurts. Get away. That's what guilt. That's what the conscience. That's what God gave you so that you know that you're hurting, that you're doing something wrong. And I'm just telling you, them pills just numb that right off. Just take care of it. Just take care of it. It's done. Please don't be a victim to that. If you need it, then you need it. That's between you and your doctor. But you know what? If you're still feeling it, even if you're taking the antidepressants, then God's just trying to show you something, man. Let him show you. It won't hurt you. If God pulled me out of my clay, and I mean I was in some deep, nasty, smelly, stinky, gross, disgusting stuff. If he can pull somebody like me out of it, he can pull anybody out of it. And I'm not even the worst that ever walked the face of this earth. But I'm just telling you now, if I can walk out of it, if I can get out of it through the grace of God, then you can. Don't give me an excuse you can't. I don't even want to hear it. I'm done.